and welcome to Ask Me About K-Pop, the essential guide for recent converts and seasoned fans alike. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Angelica.
And welcome to the show. Today's episode is kind of going back to
It feels like a basic episode, yeah. Like one that we would have covered in the very beginning, but was definitely something I think you and I didn't know that much about when we first started listening to K-pop and definitely started this show, and something that's grown a lot in
Absolutely.
The past.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about K-pop collections in general and what kind of things people collect, and if you want to get into collecting and trading and selling and whatever, things that you might need to know. But yeah, when we started this show, I didn't even own a physical K-pop album.
Yeah.
I had none because at the time they were still kind of hard to get or just like took more effort and money. Nowadays they sell K-pop albums at Target. Yeah. So like... Everything is a little different.
So true. I think that when we first started, I only had one that I had received as a gift from my sister's friend who had gone to like a Lunar New Year parade in like San Francisco Chinatown. And there was like a random stand with like boxes of shit. And she was like, I recognize this group. And she sent me Shiny One of One and like the little CD. And that was the first K-pop album I ever owned.
Yeah, so that's a good little segue into like our personal stuff. Like, do you feel like you collect K-pop in any way, or is it just something that you
like are given
or occasionally grab something or whatever?
Yeah, I definitely don't feel like I'm a purposeful collector. Like, I have a small, I guess I should say, collection of albums, but I don't go out of my way to get them, and I don't keep track of certain albums or like, yeah, I don't go looking for them in any way. And then when it comes to other K-pop stuff, like photo cards or like memorabilia or like, I don't know, weird tchotchkes or something, like, I don't know. I don't really collect. I don't really feel like I collect anything.
Really?
Though. Like, I'm not a collection kind of person. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a kid. I had like a rock collection, but I think I just maybe for like a year or something, I would like occasionally see a rock and keep it, but like it wasn't a thing
that
I ever did.
I had a very large keychain collection when I was a child that was like, I don't even know how it started, but that was just like a thing that people, like my aunties or whatever, knew they could get me a keychain on vacation because I like had a keychain collection. And then when I was in high school and I started going to see like Broadway shows a lot, I would always get a magnet. So I have like a magnet collection of every Broadway show I've ever seen.
Nice.
And then when it comes to K-pop, like the first album I ever got was I got the Pentagon Positive album, the Shine album. I bought it off of someone on Twitter for like $10. And the feeling of like opening it and seeing what was inside, I was like, oh no, I get it now.
Yeah.
And then I started like generally collecting things. I feel like my main collections are Shiny and A-Pink related. I have almost every single A-Pink album, and I have a good chunk of Shiny albums, which is a kind of difficult thing to collect because I'll talk about it later, but like SM famously doesn't do reprints.
Yeah.
So like the albums they put out are all there is. So I've gotten into the habit of if I am ever in a physical K-pop store and there is a Shiny album that I do not already have, I will buy it.
Yeah.
And I don't care what it costs. I will buy it because I just want to have them all.
Sure.
And then with photo cards, I pretty much only keep like bias cards. Mm. Like I have a good amount of Mino ones, which fortunately I like pulled myself. Like it was shined down upon me, which is so lovely. But I have done a trade or two to like get other things, but I try not to get too into photo card collecting because it's a whole thing, which we will talk about today. But yeah, it's fun, like, just to have, like, I have a whole little, like, corner in my house where all my K-pop stuff is, and it's, like, really nice to see, like, all the albums, like, in a row and just be like, ha, mine. Like, I don't know. Collecting is an interesting thing, and I feel like people on TikTok say that it's, like, a neurodivergent thing to like be into collecting.
Sure. Well, because then you can like organize things and whatever. It's like a very mentally satisfying activity.
Yeah. And some people I feel like are the type of like, there's like completionist collectors that are like, I want to have every single one and complete a set. And then there's other things of like, I'm sure it's like very easy with like groups like BTS. If you're like a BTS, like a general BTS collector, they make so much merch that if you're just that, you could just be the person that's like, I buy all of it because I want to have just a whole wall of like only BTS things or whatever. So anyway, that's collecting in general. But yeah, I did a whole lot of research all over the internet, on social media, watched videos of people who are super into collecting to see what they said about things. And also I got a ton of this information from our own Discord. A listener named Jamie, who is the best, basically runs our photo card trading channel in the Discord, and she's made so many incredible resources for figuring this whole world out. So I used a lot of her stuff in this episode, and I will link her very beautiful selling and trading guide slideshow that she made.
Amazing.
It's extensive and gorgeous, and I didn't want to just like read from it, so I pulled highlights. But if you want to see like all of it, I will link it in the description because it's so good. So let's start with album collecting in general. And we did do a whole episode about like albums and
production like period of like,
yeah,
because I feel like that's a big question that comes up when people first get into K-pop is like, why do K-pop fans still buy CDs when most people don't even have a way to listen to the CD anymore? Like, what is it that they're really buying? And so we covered in that album that there's, I mean, in that episode, that there's actually a ton of stuff that comes with the albums. Freebies and photo cards and like extra things depending on the concept of the album. We went through a ton of different examples. So if you want to know more about like the packaging and marketing of specific albums, check that one out. It's way back in like the first 10 episodes of this whole show.
Yeah. But I think something that's a big part of collecting in general these days is that the vast majority of groups will put out multiple versions of an album where like the packaging is different colors or the photos inside are totally different version to version, or they come with different stuff or whatever. So I was curious, like, when did multiple versions of an album even start? Because I feel like for a very long time, there was just the one.
Right.
Like, this is the album. This is what it looks like.
The pink
and
tape.
And this is the
That's
one.
All. Yeah.
And for example, like SHINee's Odd album, which came out in 2015, had two different covers. And that was the first time in SHINee history that they'd ever had two different covers. And I will just say now that a lot of the examples I will be using in this episode are SHINee based, because as that is the only thing that I collect, it's the reference point that I have the like most knowledge about. But I thought it was interesting. So that SHINee Odd album was the first one to have two covers. But for example, their new album, Hard, has 8 versions, or 12 if you count the tiny little digi hit clip ones.
8 versions?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 for each member, maybe?
No, they're like, there was 3 separate, like,
concepts
that came in 2 packs, and then there was like member only, like these versions, and then the big deluxe one that came with the chessboard. So like that's so many more. It's wild. But one of the first that I could find, I'm not entirely sure this is the first, maybe somebody else did it, but what is credited as the first is that Girls' Generation's I Got a Boy album, which came out in January of 2013, had 10 different versions, one for each member.
Yeah. I feel like I remember seeing that in like a video or something. Why? I feel like I have a visual memory that I can't pinpoint of somebody, like a guy, collecting all of the Girls' Generation albums, because I can like see them in my mind's eye on the shelf with like the members, like,
yeah, they're on the spine.
Yes. Okay. I don't know why I have seen a video of this, but I have. So that was the thing to collect, was to get the whole set of 10.
Yeah, for sure. And that's way more common now for there to be, yeah, especially like member only versions or just like different colors, different photo books, different concepts. And I was curious as to which albums have the most versions, like who's done the most. And 17's Face the Sun album had 5 regular versions and 13 carat versions for each member, making 18 total albums that you would need to have the whole set.
I feel like 17 though is like an outlier that shouldn't be counted because they have so many members themselves. But I will also say that that can, in my opinion, be a detriment to the group's album sales, because there was one, I can't remember which one it was. I feel like it was the album that either had Home on it or like the one right after, but they had like the different member versions, but you couldn't choose which member, like you didn't know which member it would be until you opened it. And I was like, well, I don't want to gamble, because like a 1 in 13 chance of getting the 8 is not high enough for me to pay for however many albums it would take for me to finally get him. So yeah. I was like, okay.
I also did see when I was looking this up that like Carrots Online seemed to have like an issue with people saying that this album has 18 versions. Like,
oh,
they were feeling very defensive about it, I guess, because maybe they think it's because an implied,
it's ridiculous.
Or that it's an implied slight of like 17 doesn't actually sell that many albums. Oh. It's just because they have too many versions or something. They seem like people like are in every forum
about it,
where someone's like, Face the Sun has 18. There'd be someone being like, there's not really 18. There's only 5. Like, whatever. Okay. But I saw that EXO's Exodus album from 2015 had like the record for a very long time, because there were 20 versions.
Wow.
Each member version, Korean and Chinese. Oh. So 10 and 10 and 20 versions.
Wow.
But the current record holder appears to be the NCT Universe album from 2021, because it had 22 versions, one for each member, and then the group photo right. book version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, these are the groups that have 1,000 members should not be counted. Like, they skew the stats.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And see, the clown car of NCT rolls up 22 members or 22 versions. Yeah. That's so funny.
Something that I think is interesting about K-pop album collecting, as opposed to like, say, if you were like a DVD collector, is that albums are constantly like shaped and packaged so differently that like displaying them becomes like kind of an issue.
Agreed.
And I like it when groups, like, it seems like looking at pictures of other people's collections that like Twice generally keeps their albums the same like height at least, so that they like look really nice on a bookshelf. But like every single one of my SHINee albums is like a
completely
different size.
Different. Yeah.
Except for all of the member solos, they purposefully made all of the member solo albums the same size, same font, different colors. So yeah, those look beautiful when you put them all in a line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I really hate this new trend of like, I can only describe them as floppy albums. Like
just
SHINee,
a big magazine.
Yeah, SHINee Don't Call Me is that. It's just like a big floppy magazine. The cover is not hard in any way. It doesn't have a real spine.
Yeah, my Nayeon ones are like that too.
And they're just like hard to display. But a tip I found them at Daiso. I'm sure you could find them at Michael's or anywhere else. But I bought a couple of little like display stands, like the little try things with the
like
back
the
library would have to set a book up. Those are very nice if you have like floppy albums that you want to display.
Yeah.
And I also recommend getting bookends for your albums, just in case. Like my SHINee Story of Light album has bonky corners, because before I got bookends, there was an earthquake and they fell down and then the corner got all munched. So just a tip.
Yeah.
Bookends.
I will say that the like lack of uniformity in K-pop albums is maybe one of the reasons I don't care about growing my collection, because I feel like the ones that I want to display are ones that I want like the little library stands for. Like I want to see the front of it. Yeah. I don't want to see just the spines. And now that they do make a lot that like don't even have definitive spines, like my Red Velvet Irene and Solgi one is like that too. And I'm just like, this just looks like a weird blank book now. And it doesn't look exciting on my shelf.
My other least favorite album package is like envelope style. I have a Monsta X album that's like that, where it basically just like came in a plastic like envelope, and then all of the photo books and pieces are just like loose in there.
That's so dumb. I don't understand why you would make it like unbound, like just give someone a pile of papers. Who wants that?
My Hyuna I'm Not Cool album, I remember similarly, you telling me that, came in a like jelly plastic envelope, and then it's just 200 loose pages. It's Which not is bound in any way.
That's insane.
Okay. Then I wanted to look into what are like the rarest or most expensive K-pop albums in the world. And so rarity in K-pop albums is mostly assigned to what are called promo versions. And these are albums that are usually printed in really tiny quantities of just like a couple of hundred. And they're handed out like at fan signs or at music shows in line or whatever. And they're usually just like a digital single, like, you know, or a little CD version
or something. Yeah.
Yes. But because those aren't like sold, those become like extra rare and coveted. For example, Stray Kids' debut single, Dreamcatcher's debut single, and all of the Luna Odd Eye Circle promo albums go for like a ton of money online. And as I said before, it's pretty rare for companies, especially SM, to reprint more albums after the original order is sold out, which is why I buy every Shiny album I see, because the chances of me seeing it again are very rare. And that will come up later in like photo card value as well, where it's like if an album was printed, if there's 2 million copies of an album, then the stuff inside is like technically not that valuable because there's a ton of them out there. But a lot of albums, like for smaller groups or whatever, they'll only print 10,000. So that's all there is. And then that changes the value somewhat. Which is all very subjective because there are so many things on eBay that are priced absolutely ridiculously. For example, there is a vinyl of Lee Soo-man's 1989 album listed for $500,000 on eBay.
By Lee Soo-man himself?
Yeah, I don't know
who is selling that for $500,000.
And who would buy it?
Trying to clean up some of his debts.
But if nobody buys them, like that's the thing with eBay is like, I was doing this when I was trying to like appraise my own photo cards. Like if anyone can list anything for whatever they want on eBay or Mercari or whatever, but if nobody buys it, then you're just like delusionally hoping somebody will buy something. But some things I went and looked for things that were actually recently sold on eBay. And here are the top five most expensive things I found. There is a Zero Base One all member signed promo album that went for $690.
Damn.
A K-pop Broadway signed cast poster was sold for $1,000.
Impressive.
An all member signed 80s treasure album went for $2,150.
Damn.
An all-member signed AT's The World album sold for $4,000. And the most expensive thing recently sold on eBay was a signed by Taeyong and Jimin single promo album for their little single for $5,000.
I have so many thoughts. My first thought is that I have no realm of comparison for this because I have no idea how much like Western music memorabilia goes for. My first thought is that like, wow, well, like that stuff isn't even that old, you know, like the Taeyang Jimin song, like how
that was like last year, right?
Like a year old and it's being sold for $5,000. Like that makes me think of like, oh, I don't know, like something signed by Freddie Mercury would be sold for thousands of dollars.
Sure.
But like something that was signed by Ariana Grande last year, is that going to go for $5,000? Maybe it is.
Yeah.
I don't know because I don't know how much that stuff costs. But I am also the kind of person who like overthinks spending $50 on something. So the idea of just spending $5,000 on something that has a signature on it is wild to me and completely unrelatable. So yeah, you do you, man. I hope that made you happy.
I feel like you should probably never get into collecting anything really in the hopes of it like being a retirement plan. Because, like, when we were kids and Beanie Babies were very big, they, like, told us as eight-year-olds, like, we had all my friends, we had the little, like, collector books or whatever. And it would be, like, this little stuffed animal that you have, if you keep it nice, like, you can sell this for $10,000 when you're grown up. Like, no.
None of it's worth that at all.
And nobody will spend any money on that. And I remember I used to watch this show on, like, I don't know, History Channel or something that was called, like, The Toy Hunter. And it was, like, a guy looking for, like, rare toys or whatever, and that seems like a kind of thing where it'd be like, oh, keep your toys nice, don't take them out of the box, someday you'll be able to make lots of money on them. But I feel like watching that show, the most I ever saw a toy go for was like a couple $1,000s, and it was like a mint 1970s like Star Wars toy or something.
Totally.
So like, whatever. The point of collecting should not be to like try to make money, because you can never count on how much people will be willing to pay for stuff. But I did, based on what I saw, I feel like it would be a good investment to just like buy every New Goo Group's debut album that you can get your hands on, because you like never know who's gonna pop off and like maybe you have something.
Especially if it's signed.
Yeah. But I have my quote unquote retirement plan album. Is I have a Triple H 1990X album that is still sealed. I have two of them. One is open. The other one is not open. I don't know whose photo cards are in it or anything, because it is factory sealed. And I went looking on eBay to see if anybody else has Triple H albums. And there is not a single one listed for less than $300 on eBay.
Wow, nice.
Again, nobody's buying them. None of them are listed as sold. So, like, I don't know.
Sure.
But that's, like, the one that I'll, like, always hang on to. Like, if I need some scratch, I can try to dump that one.
Yeah. I have... Is that the only unsealed album that you have? Because I was just thinking, I open all of... I'm not... Like I said, I'm not a collector. Mm-hmm. So, I've never been the kind of... Like, even as a kid, I was, like, not the kid putting the plastic covers on my Beanie Babies. Like, I played with them. And like same with toy, like Barbies and stuff, whatever. I'd be like, no, she's coming out of the box. And I'm the same way with my albums. Like I rip them open as soon as I get them home, because that's why I bought them. Do you have anything that's unsealed aside from that one?
My Shiny From Now On, which was their like final, not final, they might have done another one, but it was the last Japanese album with all five members on it. I have that and it is still in the plastic. There's nothing inside. I've checked unboxing videos. It's not like there's a photo card hiding in there, but I've just like never opened it for whatever reason. I've just like kept it nice and sealed.
I mean, the concert that came with it is heavy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot attached to that album, I think. That makes sense.
Yeah. So that one's still sealed and my extra Triple H is still sealed. But the rest of them I have opened and gone through every single one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some tips from me as a person who has gone collecting older albums, because like we said, new stuff is really available these
days.
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
You can get it everywhere, Barnes & Noble, Target, Amazon, like whatever. And I've also seen a ton of people noticing that because everybody's so into like collecting and buying 45 copies of an album, that like thrift stores are now inundated with K-pop albums because people go like dump them at Goodwill. So like newer stuff is really easy to find. But if you want to find something like old that isn't in a store anymore, definitely check eBay, Mercari, any other kind of like auction-y sites, because people will dump things. You never like know. I have a couple of cool things that I've gotten from eBay. Also, Amazon has like the used book section of Amazon. That's where I got my DVD copy of the SM documentary, and it has stickers on it that it used to belong to a library.
Fun.
So like things pop up there every once in a while.
I didn't even know Amazon had a used book section.
Yeah, it's like a, it's a filter. You can look for just used things. And also I've had a lot of luck, and I know this isn't like very accessible to most people, but I've had so much luck in physical K-pop stores.
Yeah, totally.
Because places like Choice Music and Music Plaza here in LA have existed for like 20 plus years. So they have a lot of weird old dusty inventory that is not listed on their website, but you might like see it on a shelf. And I feel like I have more regrets of not buying albums than I have regrets of albums I have bought. Like, I always think about the first time we ever went to Choice. They had a copy of the Pink Tape and I didn't buy it. And yeah. I still don't know why I didn't buy it, but I should have bought it because that's a you'll never get
yeah,
it
you'll
album.
Never, you'll never find that.
Yeah. So if you see something and it's old, just snatch it up.
Yeah.
You'll probably never see it again.
I am constantly filled with regret that that little dusty store in Chinatown closed before I could go back with my like wider knowledge of K-pop and like Asian media in general. Because when I first came upon it, I like didn't really know that like one of the only dramas I'd watched all the way through was Dots. And like that's why I went in because I saw a Dots DVD and was like, oh, what's this? There was so much stuff in there and there were CDs and so many things that I just like, I never even got the chance to get my fingers all dusty.
Yeah.
And it was dusty. In
Another place that I've gotten some really great stuff is truly just on Twitter. I recently got a copy of the Shiny One Fine Day Vacation DVD series from somebody on Twitter who sent it to me for a very reasonable price, like, and it was in perfect condition. So just like look around because people are always like in need of money or they're done with K-pop or whatever and they want to get rid of stuff. And another place, and again, this is a rarity, but if you are ever in South Korea or someone you know is in South Korea, send them to the subway station under Namdaemun Market. Because that subway station is almost entirely music stores for whatever reason. And a lot of them mostly have vinyl. But I think that there's probably so much gold in those stores. Because, like, they're not online. They're all just, like, run by old men who have, like, no idea what they have in the stores. That's another regret is when I was down there buying vinyl with my husband, somebody had One of One on cassette. And I didn't grab it. And I should have grabbed it. Because, again... I'll never, ever find that.
Totally.
So those are my tips. If you're looking for old stuff, just like keep your eyes peeled because people are getting rid of stuff sometimes.
And you never know what gems you will find. I mean, that's where I found my Rain DVD.
Yeah.
It's raining. World tour.
Okay. Moving on to the biggest piece of this, which I think is like becoming a really, really popular side hobby to being a K-pop fan, and that is photo card collecting in general.
Great.
So, a little backstep history lesson. We talked about this in the album episode, but just to a refresh, photo cards were once again started by Girls' Generation, essentially.
Love it.
Or by SM, because TVXQ technically had like the first photo cards as we know them today in a 2007 Japanese album. But the first K-pop-y K-pop photo cards were in SNSD's 2010 album, O. And previous to this, like first gen albums or whatever, obviously still came with like posters or stickers or photo or postcards or whatever. But the like wallet size, rounded corner
photo cards
was started in 2010. So the amount of different photo cards per member and per album is going to vary greatly between groups and time periods, but it seems like the style these days is for there to be at least three or four versions of each member. Like, you know, there's three Koops cards or whatever that you can collect. And some albums will have four or five photo cards in them. But most of the albums I've ever bought are single photo cards. Like there's one.
Yeah. I feel like I usually get one. Yeah. Usually one, maybe two. And maybe like, I think the most I've gotten have been in my like soloist ones. Like I think my Sunmi one came with like three.
Sure. Yeah. And again, a 17 record. The 17 and Ode album has 260 possible photo cards.
How? How is that possible? All 13. Wait, now I've
divide 260 by 13.
Gonna that can't be right. Each member has 20.
I believe it. Because I saw somebody on
20 versions for each member. That's too many. Why? You do one where they're in the fancy photo shoot and then one where it's a selfie. Two. You should have 26, not 260.
Yeah. I believe it, though, because I was looking through somebody like showing off their 17 photo card collection, and they had like one of the binder pages that, you know, had like 9 slots, and they were all pictures of Hoshi in the same outfit, like on a little paint splatter ladder, and in everyone he was just like moved a little bit,
like
from
a little
the
flip book.
Last one. Yes. So they're like barely different, but there's so many. And a funny thing about photo cards, if you didn't know this, I think it's funny, like the first time I saw a video of it, is that the vast majority of photo cards appear to be selfies, right?
Yeah.
The idol took a selfie, but it's not real. They essentially have someone with a real nice camera.
And they just hold
and
the camera.
And they hold it up, and then the idol puts their hand up like to touch the camera like it's a phone so that they can take good photo card pictures. It's very funny to me. Okay, so here is some vocabulary that you need to know if you want to get into photo card trading or selling and all of this world, which is very complicated. So the first one is WTS, willing to sell.
Great.
WTT, willing to trade.
Straightforward.
Then there's a GO, which stands for group order. And GOM is the group order manager, because a group order is essentially like one person who decides they're going to facilitate orders for people, and like they'll buy 100 albums because it probably saves everybody money on shipping to just like buy in bulk.
Sure.
And then they collect everybody's money and addresses and then they ship them all off. So that's like a very common way to get albums, especially when it comes to like pre-orders or like exclusive stuff. You can do a group, get in on a group order. LFB stands for looking for buyer.
Okay.
And then I also saw there's Caddy, which is spelled K-A-D-D-Y. And this stands for Korean address. Because a lot of times for group orders, it is required that somebody has a Korean address because they won't like ship things internationally. And I found them on TikTok a while ago and bookmarked it. But there is a company called Ontact Korea, like contact with no C. And they are essentially just like a shipping service. Like they will buy Korean only goods and then they'll send them anywhere in the world.
Wow.
So they just like sort of act as like a liaison.
Yeah. That's cool.
So check them out if your group is ever doing like a Korean concert that has exclusive merch, or like a pop-up in Seoul that has exclusive merch. Like Ontact will supposedly buy that stuff for you and then ship it anywhere in the world.
Cool.
So that's a cool thing if you want to get in on that.
Should keep that in mind the next time Shiny does something.
Yeah, because they always have such good concert merch.
Yeah. And our stupid online SM fan club thing
never came.
You know what happened? You know what I got recently? An email that was explaining my refund. They refunded me for it.
Oh my God.
Isn't that weird?
How rude.
I don't know why.
I really just wanted that goddamn membership card. That's all I wanted.
I wanted to put it in my wallet. I wanted to be a card-carrying schwoll. Anyway.
Another acronym, QYOP, stands for quote your own price.
Okay.
Essentially, you know, tell me what you'd be willing to pay for this. WL stands for wish list. So like all trading accounts keep a public wish list of cards that they are looking for so that other people know what they may be able to trade with them. Like, oh, I have this.
Gotcha.
You want it. So like there's our bargaining. So you're supposed to publicly declare your wish
list.
Things
you're looking for. That makes sense.
Then there's freebies, which are like different than the freebies you get in an album, because these are trader freebies where like if you do a photo card trade with somebody, very often they will include like stickers or homemade photo cards or like other little stuff in the envelope just to like sweeten the deal and raise their reputation as being a fun seller. And it's supposedly not required, but I have seen people on TikTok opening photo card trades and like shading the people a little bit for not sending freebies.
Ooh.
So like maybe that's something you have to consider. And then the last acronym I wrote down, and again, Jamie's slideshow has so many more, but this one I thought was interesting, which is DWAYOR, which stands for deal with at your own risk. Because sometimes traders or sellers have possibly like scammed people or sure. been difficult to work with. So like others will warn you about certain accounts to like be cautious before you deal with someone who has a bad reputation in the trading community.
Wow. I love internet acronyms.
I know, it's so
They're
fun.
They're so random.
So as for purchasing and or trading photo cards, Instagram appears to be like the main place that this takes place. Jamie's tutorials even imply that if you find people on YouTube or TikTok, they will still direct you back to their Instagram. So if you want to really get into trading or selling, like you need to have a dedicated trading account on Instagram that isn't your like personal Instagram. It's like just for dealing trading. In photo cards.
Interesting.
So here are all the things that you need to do if you want to have a trading Instagram. First, you need all of your info, which will be like a post or a pinned story highlight that includes simple information like your location, which can just be a general like I live in this state or like whatever. So people know what shipping might look like coming to or from you. Your expected turnaround time, like I send cards every Friday, like just setting expectations, letting people know how you handle mail and how you handle proofs, and rules for how you might like people to deal with you. And apparently many folks require potential traders or buyers to include a specific emoji when you DM them. Like the rules will say, if you've read all these rules, send me a pencil emoji when you contact me, just to make sure that everybody's reading the rules and understands what's going on. Then you need to have a who I collect section, which could be in your bio or in a pretty little aesthetic photo collage, so that people know what space you work in, like what fandoms you're dealing with here. And then the wish list, as we spoke about, the wish list can also be displayed in story highlight form. And there are templates, which Jamie puts a bunch of links. She has a whole spreadsheet of them if you want to look at other people's. I also found that Pinterest is a great place to find templates, which is essentially someone will make a really pretty, like, photo collage of every single, like here are all the possible woozy photo cards. And so then you can download that and then like check off and circle the ones you already have so that it like gives a visual display of like, here's what I'm looking for to complete my collection. Then proofs are a very important part. This is also a story highlight that you need to have. So if you do a trade with somebody, when they receive the photo card, they're supposed to take a picture of it, post it to their trading story and say, just received blank from at whatever, thanks. And then you, and as the person tagged in it, need to save that to your proof story highlights so that if anybody finding your account can click through your proofs to say like, okay, here are 30 times that they really sent the right thing. Yes. And like I said, Jamie's guide has so much more information about properly vetting accounts and red flags to look out for. And it's really important to remember if you are doing trading or selling that this requires you to share your full name and address with strangers on the internet. So like, just be careful and like pieces
DWAYOR.
Yeah. And
deal with at your own
at your own risk. And little pieces of paper are like not worth like risking your privacy or your financials over. So like just be careful and just know that's a thing.
Yeah.
I know not everybody can do this, but when I still worked in an office building, I had absolutely everything sent to my office that I could, because porch pirates are a thing, which is not fun. And also it just feels better to be like, you don't know where I live. Like, here's an office address. Okay. So that's the Instagram of it all, but also eBay, Mercari, and Depop are places for selling or buying cards. People are not doing trades on there. Instagram is mostly for trades, and I think a lot of the community is trade-based because that's, like, very easy, and then you're only spending 60 cents on a stamp, and, like, nobody's, like, doing money, because if it's, like, I have my bias, like, I have your bias and you have mine, it's just easier to just trade.
Especially, I think it makes sense because the photo cards are something that come for free with the album. Right. Like, you did not actually pay extra for the photo card, so it feels like it would be kind of odd to, like, yeah, because how do you even decide, like, this Woozy card is worth $3,
I'll but get
this
into Koops that.
One is worth $5 or whatever, but they're, like, from the same album, sure. So whatever, just trade them.
But if you do want to buy or sell, those online auction-y kind of places are the place to do it. There is also a photo card only app, and they had a booth at KCON this year called Poca Market, P-O-C-A, Poca Photo Card. And they appear to be, like, very, very reasonable about their pricing, and they have tons and tons of cards, and you can search by member and album. So if you're just, like, looking for one card to complete your little set, like, Poca might be able to get it to you, and you're all set with them. But the others are all up to the discretion of who is selling them. So, like, don't get swindled. Do price matching, comparing, search different sites, and see what it's, like, worth to you. Which brings me to the question of, what is this photo card worth? And the value of a card is 100% subjective. And it depends on so many different factors, like, how rare is the card? How popular is the member? And also, how badly does this person, or how badly do you want it?
Sure.
These are all factors. But pricing will definitely vary by group. And Jamie says that it becomes easier to see what the relative cost of something is in a fandom. Like, the more time you, like, spend in a space or, like, looking at other people's stuff, you'll be like, okay, generally AT's cards cost $15. Like, you'll sort of see how that fandom values things. But regular old album photo cards are usually between $3 and $5, and especially if it is, like, a newer group, or, like, a Stray Kids, AT's, BTS, like, albums that there are millions of copies of, you should not be paying that much for the photo cards, because there's so many of them out there. Yeah. So, like, don't get tricked. But if the album is old, if the card is rare, then it can go up. Especially if there's pre-order exclusive photo cards, where, like, there's different cards if you pre-order it, or sometimes special merch comes with photo cards. Like, I have a couple of my Mino cards. One is from it was like a season's greetings, like, addendum pack. It was, like, not the season's greetings, but it was, like, an extra set of calendar stickers to go with your season's greetings calendar. Nice. But it was, like, Mino only, and that came with an exclusive photo card. When I bought that Jinro merch, the Shiny is Back Jinro merch, I got an exclusive Mino photo card with that, so that would be, like, worth money, because it didn't come with an album. I basically had to pay $75 for it. sometimes there's also, like, special cards, like, 1 in 1,000 cards is holographic, or, you know, so,
like, a Pokemon card.
So when things become more rare or special, then the price range goes up to, like, $30 and way, way beyond that. So it's up to you what you are willing to pay. I'll talk about some very expensive cards later in my list. That's that. And also, there is apparently a member pricing culture that essentially is, like, dependent on how popular a member is.
Sure.
So like if it's the same group, like the most popular member, like his cards start at $20, but then like the least popular member, you can get his cards for $8. And like,
ouch.
People are like uncomfy with this, but it seems to just be like, fact of the matter that like,
yeah. I mean, it's like when they made like NSYNC or Spice Girl Barbies, like they don't make the same number of lances as they do Justin's.
Right.
Like it's just a fact.
It's just a fact. So the next thing to talk about is, all right, you've done all of this stuff. You're ready. You're going to make a trade with somebody. So how do you package the photo card to be sent in the mail? And this is like very important to ship the photo cards like safely so that they arrive in proper condition, because like any trading card, like you don't want them to be munched or smudged or broken in any way. They like need to be in nice condition. So the standard packaging that I have personally seen and experienced is you just get like a plain old folded greeting card, get a little pack of 10 at Walgreens of like thank you cards or whatever. And then you put the photo card inside of like a plain loose sleeve. There's a difference between sleeves and top loaders. I'll get to it. But you put it in a plain sleeve and then with washi tape, make like essentially a pull tab, like tape the top shut in like a little loop so that it makes like a long pull tab and the tape can't touch the photo card in any way. Like just tape the sleeve. Don't get anything sticky near the photo card. And then you put that inside of a like more sturdy top loader, but then the washi tape sort of like makes like a pull tab so that you can get the card out without having to like reach your fingers in and possibly munch it. And then you take that top loader and you washi tape all four sides of it to the card, to the greeting card. So then it's nice and safe and flat and there's no tape stuck on the photo card anywhere. That's very important. Never get any tape near the photo card. And again, in Jamie's incredible slideshow, she has a lot of suggestions for like other packaging that you can use if you don't have this kind of stuff. And also reminders to just like reuse and recycle. And the more you get into trading, like then you can use the same packaging that other people sent you.
Sure.
To like send more cards and you'll get stuff. But you also need to take into consideration the size and weight of your card, because the more the more sleeves and top loaders and tape you put in it, it's gonna get heavier. And if you're smart and sending it light as possible and you're sending it within the United States, it should cost 66 cents. Nice and simple. But the heavier it gets, the more you're gonna have to pay for shipping. And if you didn't charge the person for shipping, then like that's on you.
Yeah.
So just make sure you don't make your packages too bulky. Next thing is the warnings against scams and fake cards.
Ooh.
So I looked up ways that people say that you can compare, like to make sure that the card that you got is real. So ideally you would have another photo card from the same album that you could compare to be like, okay, these like look the same, because generally a photo card will have the photo of the idol on the front. Obviously they all have rounded corners. That's it. Like, so it'll never be square corners. And then the back of the card will either be like a solid color with the album logo on the back, or often it'll be like a little printed handwritten message from the idol who's on the other side.
Yeah.
So you can compare to make sure that the like color saturation and paper thickness and glossiness of the cards like matches other ones from the same album. And I've noticed, I feel like real photo cards look like they all look like they've kind of been in the sun. Like they don't seem like they're really, really saturated. Like they all kind of look like faded in some way. That's kind of interesting. And somebody said that real photo cards will very often have really tiny like bumps on the edges of the card from when they got like cut out of the paper in the factory.
Interesting.
I checked all my photo cards and some of them didn't have the bumps, and I know all my photo cards are real because I took them straight out of the album. So that's not a guarantee, but something to look for. But a real thing that I've seen a lot about is what is called LOMO cards. And these are like fan-made or unofficial retailer-made photo cards. They're the same size, but they're not quote-unquote real.
Like the ones that you get from Choice.
Absolutely. Those would count.
They have the Choice logo on the back.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you can print your own of these at lomocard.com or like at Vistaprint or FedEx or whatever. Mm. And I think people do that a lot for their freebies.
Sure.
Just print out a bunch of like your favorite picture of an idol or whatever. But like these are technically not quote unquote real photo cards. Sure. So you should never be like paying money for them. Or if you pay money for something and someone sends you one of these, like, you've been scammed.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just a tip from me, I think that you should, before you get into anything like this, have a plan for any possible issues that may arise. Like, most people online are going to be nice and cool, and most of the time the mail is going to arrive safely and it will all be fine. But like, just make sure that you have a plan in place if someone ever like disputes your trade, or if a card shows up completely damaged or gets lost in the mail. Like, are you going to refund them? Are you going to send them something else? Like, make sure you know what you're going to do and that it's like listed in your rules. If you're like, I'll never give anyone a refund, then like put that in your rules, like all sales are final. Sure. Or whatever.
Yeah. Let people know what they're getting yeah. into.
Just because you're essentially like kind of running a business almost. Totally. So like just cover your ass and know what you're gonna do if anything happens. Okay. I'll do that part last. Last thing about taking care of photo cards, or what to do with them once you have them. So my first tip is obviously to take care of your cards. And so you should sleeve everything. And a sleeve is like a very floppy, like little plastic sleeve, right? And it's photo card sized. I got a pack of 200 sleeves at Daiso for $1.50. You can get them lots of places. I feel like all kinds of photo card trading supplies are all over the internet. I'll give some specifics in a minute. But also, if your town has a like a hobby shop where they sell model cars or model airplanes and choo-choo train parts and baseball cards, they will also have all of this stuff.
That makes sense.
Because it's exactly the same as collecting baseball cards, Pokemon cards,
yeah.
Magic the Gathering cards. It's the same stuff. So if there's
any little game shop.
Yeah, yeah. Nerdy hobby shops will have all of this stuff as well.
Find your local nerd store.
Yes. So the reason I said to sleeve everything is that a lot of binder pages and the cute photo card stuff that I'll talk about in a second has PVC in it. And PVC is like a ticking time bomb of plastic, in that you never ever know when it's gonna turn. And like, maybe it never will, but it might. PVC has a tendency to just like one day just like melt and become very sticky. So you want to make sure that you have a sleeve on the card before you stick it in anything a thicker plastic, so that it doesn't like melt to your card. And some like hardcore collectors recommend essentially rotating your cards. Like every time you get a new one, like open your binder up and like take everything out and just make sure that nothing is starting to stick to the plastic, because plastic is unreliable in that way.
Wow.
In-depth hobby. It is very, this is why I like have not really thrown myself into this. It's so much. It's so much.
I can't even water a plant, much less rotate 100 cards. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
But also.
Also, I was just like giggling when you're like, sleeve everything. Every single one of my photo cards, if it's not still in the album.
Which I think is a perfectly safe place to keep them.
Which is where like half of them are. They're all just like the XOSC album you gave me came in a little plastic sleeve, and that has all of my album freebies that I've ever received. It's like an overstuffed plastic envelope, and that's where I keep everything.
Also, just a general tip, never ever leave your photo cards or your albums like in direct sunlight.
Sure.
Or like in a room that gets like humid or whatever. Like with anything that you want to keep nice, just like try to try to keep the elements around it as hospitable as possible. Okay, so a popular way to keep your photo card collection is in a binder. And collectors on TikTok seem to recommend just like a standard A4 3-ring binder that you can get at Office Depot. Like that will do the trick. But also A5 binders, which is like a little more long than it is square, are really popular because a lot of those come in like padded cases that have the little like click lock.
A little Trapper Keeper
style that are like a little nicer. And there is an account called at Mandudeco, M-A-N-D-U-D-E-C-O, that sells
Mandudeco.
It does look like Mandudeco, but Mandu means dumpling in Korean.
Oh, all right, fine. I like Mandudeco though.
Yeah. They sell very
Mandude
high
Mandude company. Clothes for Mandudes. All the things a Mandude could need. Anyway, Mandudeco.
Mandudeco sells very highly rated pocket pages that like come in different colors and like shiny ones. And like they also have different sizes where if like say you collect photo cards, but you also have some fun like postcard size things, they also sell pocket pages for like different sizes.
Oh, yeah.
I have
different sized things as well. Like some every once in a while it's like, oh, you get a regular photo card and then you also get a postcard size one. And I'm like, well, what am I gonna do with that?
Yeah. there is also a store. This is their TikTok app, but I'm sure you can find them other place. It's Meow Cafe Shop, and they make supposedly, quote, the largest K-pop photo card binders on the market. So if you have a very big collection,
ooh, la, la.
They will help you with that. But there's lots of places, and again, Jamie has a ton more of these listed in her incredible guide. Something that I think is very fun to do with photo cards are the super cute photo card holder keychain things that are everywhere. Most of the cute ones I think are like on Etsy, yeah. And they have like cute sayings or like 3D elements. We saw one
at KCON that the back of it said, "I pay his bills." I think that was maybe the best one I've ever seen.
Very, very funny. I love it. There is also the very classic K-pop fan of putting a photo card in the back of your phone case.
Yeah.
Clear phone case with the photo card in the back is like a very popular way to proudly display a bias.
Though I didn't have my pop socket.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've thought about it, but the pop socket's in the way. But I have seen a couple of pretty sad videos of people who leave their photo cards in the back of their phone for way too long.
Uh-oh.
And then when you go to get them out, they've like melted and corroded. So maybe a phone case is good for a Lomo card situation.
Yeah. Personally, I have K-pop stickers on the back of my phone, which you can see through my clear phone case, and it satisfies the need.
Uh-huh. Also, if you're a crafty type, it's very fun to decorate your own card holders. So there's so many cute videos online of people decorating plastic top loaders. Oh, I meant to explain this, but I didn't. A top loader is a type of card sleeve. If you Google Amazon or whatever, like top loaders, you can get a box of 100 of them. They're hard plastic and they're called top loaders because they're open on the top and that's where you slide the card in. But people make really cute ones like with stickers and all kinds of stuff, and you can like essentially make like a frame around it on the plastic, and then when you slide the photo card in, it's like got a cute little frame on it. So if you're crafty, that's a fun thing you can do with a photo card.
Nice.
Okay, so that's all that I learned and know about photo card trading and keeping and whatever. I hope that was interesting to you. And I will close this photo card segment with the most expensive photo cards I found on eBay. So as for actually sold photo cards on eBay recently, these are the top five. A Stray Kids Hyunjin No Easy Lucky card went for $366.70.
Okay.
A 17 Your Choice full members, all members set, sold for $432.
Great. So like $4 a card.
Uh-huh. A TXT Subin Blue Hour card went for $470.
Jeez.
A New Jeans Haedin Weaver's Lucky card went for $564. And the most expensive recent photo card sale on eBay was an NCT 2020 Mark yearbook card that went for $617.50.
That's what's so crazy to me is that they're all so new. Like, these are not old collectibles.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That just feels weird to pay so much for something that's not that old.
I totally agree. I got a TikTok last night, and it's probably because I went looking for so much of this information that now TikTok's like, you want photo card TikToks, like, you care about that. And I saw one from somebody yesterday being like, I don't think anyone should ever pay more than $10 for a photo card, was the thesis of their video. And so many people in the comments, and maybe they were all lying, but so many people in the comments were claiming to have recently bought zero base one photo cards for $250. Like, that is apparently the going price of a zero base one photo card.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't. You get them for free in the album that costs $15, $20, and you're paying 10 times that for a baseball card, of a Pokemon card, of a member. I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
I know.
I just don't know about that.
I love, there was a recent TikTok trend, a sound about girl dinner, and it was like, this is my dinner. I call it girl dinner. Girl dinner, girl dinner. And the photo card version that somebody made a parody of was like, this is my hobby. I call it boy paper. Boy paper. Boy paper. Because it's just boy paper.
Yeah, it is. It is. You could just like wallpaper your rooms with all of the
boy paper. Okay, there we go. That's all I had to say about photo cards. And I know it's a lot and it's still barely even scratching the surface, but.
A primer.
And I had a section for talking about other possible things to collect, and I didn't get very far into it. Like, I know some people are like light stick collectors and, you know, like try to get as many light sticks as they possibly can. I've never done that. I still only own one light stick because they're expensive.
They are expensive. And it is, I feel like that's an interest because getting a light stick to me feels like a commitment. Like, you invest in getting the light stick of your favorite group, but it's not necessarily worth it to get a light stick of like all the groups you like, because maybe you're not ever going to see that group live. So like, why have the light stick? This is just my personal like reasoning and like way of thinking about it. So to me, for collecting light sticks, it makes more sense if like, I think we were talking about this over the KCON weekend of like how some groups will update their light sticks and release like four versions of it, or like come out with a new one, but you could buy it with this one, or that like they're doing like the album thing of coming out with multiple versions of the light stick. So that would make sense of like, oh,
I have every generation of Carrot Bong or whatever.
Exactly. But to have like, oh, I have a Carrot Bong and a Shatting Star and a Candy Bong and a this and a that and a this and a that. Like, that seems like a lot.
But they do look beautiful in a collection. Like, when people have really impressive K-pop collections, like a properly displayed light sticks amongst all of the stuff, like they do, some of them are so pretty, like I totally like get it.
True.
But I feel like that's probably less common because people are less likely to multi-stand so many groups that you would justify having 20 light sticks. But
yeah,
there's a couple of people on YouTube who seem to have been like, I collect light sticks, I have every single one. Like, all right, there's all your right. thing.
That's your thing.
And then this other thing was just like a general like wondering that I started having at KCON, so I wrote it down, which is groups who make tons of merch and the like newer, I know people have been doing it forever because like 2PM had them a decade ago, but this newer trend of groups having a cartoon version, like, and the BTS BT21 seems to be like the biggest one of these because they sell BT21 merch like in every store, like at the grocery store and the dollar store and the gas station. And like, there's that stuff everywhere. And so I wonder if the accessibility to merch makes it more or less appealing, because I don't personally stan any groups that make tons of merch.
Yeah.
So I feel like every time I've ever run in across a cute, fun, shiny thing, I will buy it and spend anything on it because it's like, wow, I don't get this. But like, also, if you are an army, do you buy every BT21 thing you see? Or is it like, oh, there's too much of this, I don't even care anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that I don't know. Because like we commented at KCON, we weren't sure if it was like oversaturation or just a generational thing where like the butter branded makeup, like nobody was at that booth. And is it because you can buy that anywhere, so it's not special? Or is it because like people aren't like the crowd there are no longer like the majority army fans or something? And that's something like I was just thinking, maybe that's a generational thing of like, you know, the groups that we, I mean, I guess EXO like did, because EXO is a group that makes a wide variety of so much random fucking merch.
Yes.
But it's not super available here in the States. Like when we went to the SM store in Korea and there were like tables and tables of like, here are keychains with every EXO member and coffee mugs with every EXO member and like a hand towel with every EXO, like random shit.
Uh-huh.
With every single EXO member. But then you go to like a Choice here in Koreatown and there's one Chanyeol pillow in the whole store. Of course I'm gonna buy it because it's like, I'll never see this again.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder also if it's like, if we were standing groups like Stray Kids or ATEEZ and like saw that available, would we still want it or not?
I don't know. This is just a wondering that I have. Because, yeah, the more K-pop gets more popular and the more the merchandise becomes more available, I don't know if that will speed up or slow down, or if people will just be, like, if people just don't care. Because, yeah, so much of the dumb K-pop stuff that I own is just because I, like, saw it and was like, oh, I don't have, like, they don't make this. I bought so much of it in Korea. Like, the first time I went to Korea and passed one of the, like, dumb K-pop tchotchke stores, I like bought everything with shiny on it, like a mug and a tumbler and a little zippy pouch that I have 1,000 of, and just like bought everything because it was like, I can't get shiny stuff, so I want it all. But yeah.
That's why I have my shiny hat.
Yeah.
Because I saw it at Choice and it was $75. And I was like, that is an absurd amount to pay for a baseball cap, but I'm going to get it because I never see shiny branded merch ever.
Yeah. Just an interesting thought.
Yeah.
And my final...
But again, neither of us are like collectors. So that might also be a major factor into our lack of hunting for things.
Yeah, that too. I think if I was much, much richer, I would probably go pretty nuts. But I can't. I feel like it's very hard for me to justify purchases a lot of the time. And that's probably what keeps me from going insane. It's just like, oh, I can't justify buying that. Like, it's very funny. I was thinking about this because I was like, well, what are albums, like thinking about my own album collection and like, what are things that I don't have that I wish that I did? And something that I've always wanted is a copy of any of the Taeyeon albums on vinyl. Mm. But because those are such limited prints, those all go for $85+ on eBay or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not paying $85 for a vinyl. But if I walk into Choice right now, I will put 5 albums that cost $30 in a stack and I will buy them and I will not think twice about it.
Yeah.
But just one album for that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but it is vinyl, so that is, like, more valuable.
Sure.
People pay money for records.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. Okay, my final closing thought on this is something that has been in the news recently, which is a report that K-pop companies may be in trouble with the FTC.
Mm.
So the question is like, how much does the pressure to collect all the versions and get all of the photo cards contribute to the recent like explosion in physical album sales? And it's apparently enough that there has reportedly been an investigation launched. And it was in the news in early August that the Korean Federal Trade Commission had launched investigations into SM, YG, JYP, and HYBE to see if having so many photo cards and album versions is a fair business practice. Mm. Because so many fans will buy hundreds right. of copies of albums and then dump them into online marketplaces to then make more money off of, or just literally dump them in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a smaller like boy group that did something. They did something because they had like heard about, because I remember when there were like pictures going around of like dumpsters like filled with like 101 albums right. or whatever. And there was some group, I can't remember who it was now. I'm sure a listener will know. But there was a group that did like a if you turn our album, like if you don't want our album, like turn it back in or something, like for like the a
recycling
yeah,
program.
Yeah. Cause they were like, this is so bad for the environment.
But also to be fair, all of the articles about this investigation seem to not have a source. Mm. And one article even said that the Korean FTC declined to comment on whether or not this investigation was real, as ongoing Ooh. Government investigations are not public knowledge.
Interesting.
So there's like a chance that this like was isn't even true or like is just a rumor, or if it's something that like fans are getting cranky about this and then yeah. so someone was like, they should be investigated, and then that turned into they're being investigated. Nobody knows if it's true, but the point is it's a thing. It's a like a possible like problem right now.
Interesting.
And we talked about it in like the chart episode too, of like how much does a physical album sales like count if like they're all just, if every person is just buying 50 copies, like
yeah
I mean, I guess it counts because they sold them, they made the money.
Yeah,
but like does that mean the group is popular or not? I don't know. These are all questions that we have.
Totally.
But yeah, it does appear to be getting like pretty out of control. And it's strange because that's the a side effect of this is that now that Target sells K-pop albums, it became apparent very, very quickly that people were just going to Target and opening all the albums and stealing all the photo cards. Oh. And so now most Targets keep the K-pop albums either behind glass or you have to bring a card up to the register because people cannot be trusted to have them out on the shelves because they just steal the photo cards because like
Wild.
Money can be made on them. Fascinating.
Wow. Interesting.
And all that to say, I'm selling some photo cards right now. No, it's true. They will be up on our Instagram and our Instagram stories. I have some pretty old and pretty rare shiny photo cards that I'm willing to part with if anybody would like them. I have very, very extensively researched the most these cards have ever fetched and the cheapest that they've ever gone for. So I will be very, very reasonable on my asking price. I don't want to shaft anybody, but I'm also not going to give away my boy paper if somebody's going to pay me for it. I will take the money. But yeah, if you're interested in that or anybody you know is like a shiny collector, I also have some Monsta X and some Pentagon and some Luna cards that I will be listing on our Instagram. So share those in your communities if anyone would be interested. And yeah, check them out if you want some.
Love it.
And anything else to say about collecting before we move on today?
I'm sure glad I don't do it.
It is a lot. It is a lot. It is a lot. It's like a whole hobby onto it in of itself.
It's a hobby on top of a hobby.
Yeah. And this is interesting. This is just was wild to me, and like no shade, no hate, but it was just very interesting to me because to me, I see how like being, I'm a K-pop stan. I love this group. Oh, I got a photo card of my bias. Oh, now something's lit up in my brain and I want every photo card of my bias. Understand that completely. But there seems to be a subsection of people who do photo card trading who have no interest in K-pop at all. They just like the photo card trading because I saw this TikTok a couple of months ago that was very wild, where this girl had a huge photo card collection. And in this particular video, she was showing off her recent Twice collection that she just started. And it was already 50, 60, 70 Twice cards. And as she was showing the binders, she was mispronouncing every single member's name. So people in the comments were like, why are you saying all of their names wrong? And she made a follow-up video and she was like, all of you guys are being so mean to me. I just found out about Twice. I haven't even gotten a chance to listen to their music or learn the members. I just wanted to collect the cards. But now that you guys are being so mean to me, I don't think I even want to collect Twice anymore. And I was just very confused about, like, how have you spent money and time on a thing and you don't even know about it or like it? Like, I don't understand the psychology of that, I guess.
Yeah, me either. I don't get that at all. I don't understand that in any way, shape, or form.
But yeah, I guess that's a thing. So anyway, photo card trading, get into it at your own risk. And once again, I will
link. Dwyer.
Yeah.
Deal with at your own Dwyer. Risk.
Dwyer. Dwyer your K-pop trading. And once again, I will link Jamie's incredible trading and selling guide in the description of this episode. She's had so much more to say about this. It's so detailed and so great. And if you have further questions or want to make trading friends, check out our photo card trading channel in our Discord and start small with other listeners in this community. That might be a nice way to dip your toe into it. And with that, we'll be right back with a random game. All right, we are back. And this week, the random number generator gave us the boy group Kingdom.
Yes.
Not to be confused with the television program.
Yes. And I had to specify that in my Google search. Kingdom K-pop group, not Kingdom K-pop show. But this was, or is, I should say, a 7-member group, boy group from GF Entertainment that debuted in 2021. And their whole concept is royalty based, I suppose. Each one of the members has a stage name that is derived from a king in history. So we
talked about that in our stage name episode. Yes. We discussed them because they have such a strong concept.
Such a strong concept.
Names. Yeah.
And each one of their EPs so far reflects this because they all are titled History of Kingdom : Part Something. Period, and then one of the members' names. So, like, part one, Arthur, part two, Chiu, part three, Ivan, all the way up to their most recent one, which is part six, Mujin. So we should still have one left to go.
Their most recent comeback was in March of 2023, which is this year.
Yeah.
So they're still doing stuff. They seem to chart pretty well on the US world chart.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're getting more popular in Korea. These album sales are going up steadily with each one.
Yeah, they are. And they also seem to have a really steady release date. Like, they do one in the spring and one in the fall, like every year. And I like it. I like the consistency.
I'll go ahead and speak into existence because it's how we work. They'll probably announce a comeback after this episode comes
probably out. Because they tend to come out in October, which is coming up. But they've also won 4 awards and been nominated for 5 altogether, including a focused award from the Asia Artist Awards in 2021.
And they did a member switch last summer.
Okay.
Chiwoo left and a new member named Hwan was introduced. So
they have 7. To retitle that one EP.
Yeah. I guess they'll have to.
Bummer.
But a quick YouTube search appears that their song from last October, Long Live the King, the music video is 10 million views. All the other ones have 3 million. So
wow.
I wonder what it is about this one. If the song is a particular banger or if the music video will be interesting. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
So if you want to watch Kingdom Long Live the King with us, just go ahead and press play when I say go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. A car that says Lewis pulling up. We have some vampire font on the license plate.
A lot of things are destroyed and gone, but I always exist.
Spoken intro.
My kingdom.
Oh.
This must have been his album.
There was a kind of
part 5, Lewis.
Oh, leg dance. That intro was reminded me like a little bit of like the intro of What We Do in the Shadows, because it was like portraits of them, like, but through all time. And he was like implying that they've always existed.
Ooh, we're like standing on sticks. What's happening in that choreo? Okay, we're at like a masquerade ball.
I like where this song is going.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh, this is groovy. Oh, he gave a rose to a boy. Romeo and Romeo.
Fire dancing. Oh my god, these Hamilton outfits. Well, I think it's because he must be Louis, like King Louis, like the Louis French one.
Yeah, totally. But so they're wearing like, I mean, to me, this always screams like founding fathers.
Yes.
But they're wearing like 1700 style with the like big buckle shoes and the like white hose. Mm-hmm. The like knee pants.
And the fluffy ties and the long coats.
They have really pretty hair colors in this group.
Yes, there's like tennis ball color, and this guy's got like dark purple.
And that one like sort of grayish blue is pretty. Plus it's in a little half ponytail, which I'm always a sucker for. Ooh, sparkly. Ooh,
sparkle coat. Oh, is this portrait gonna Dorian Gray him?
Well, the statue eyes moved, so maybe the portrait eyes will move too. It started out very groovy, but it got very dramatic.
Yeah.
What happened to the grooviness? Maybe it'll come back. They're just like French dandies in a salon.
Yeah. And they have wine.
Wine.
Oh, the grapes are rotting. Gross.
Is it right before the revolution?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
They're all about to get their heads chopped off.
Even though he said, long live the king.
This is how he quashes the rebellion. Ooh, slow-mo, freeze frames.
Oh, ooh. His eyes are glowing.
Yeah, he is like a little monster king.
Oh, there was a little like thriller arms. It's also very funny to see these boys doing like such like fourth gen boy choreo in these little in dandy these outfits.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. I wonder if Louis is like a very popular member, and that's this is like What We Do in the Shadows font. That's what I meant by the vampire font.
Now we're in ancient times.
Ooh, look at that little snake on his nose. Is that the next one?
Ooh.
Well, all right then.
Hey, good luck to you, Kingdom. I've said since they debuted, I really appreciate a very strong concept.
Yes.
And I think that it's great that they are sticking to it, because I hate when concepts get abandoned.
Agreed.
Wow. Kingdom.
Definitely committing to the bit.
Yeah. More and props to them for it. Yeah, I just wish that song had stayed the groovy that it was in the first verse, and then it just became
drama.
A very drama song.
Yeah.
All right. It's weekly recommendation time. Do you have anything you want to recommend to the listeners this week?
Actually, I don't know how I came across this. I think it's because I was watching Jihyo stages, and maybe it just got like recommended to me, but I found this video of a Misamo performance.
Okay.
So that's Mina, Sana, and Momo with their little subunit that seems to be mostly doing like Japanese activities because yes. the don't touch, do not touch, don't touch me, whatever that was mm-hmm. called. I think was a Japanese yes. release, and so was their Marshmallow one. But there, they did a performance. I don't know if it was a concert of just the three of them or if it was just like a music show or something. I do not know what this performance is, but it's Misamo Funny Valentine, and the YouTube channel is Twice X Once.
Okay.
And it's a live performance of but like high quality. It's not a fan cam, it's like official production video, like real cameras, all of the like close-ups and everything. It's a high quality video. It says in the corner Beyond Live, so it must have been some sort of Beyond Live performance. I'd never heard the song before because I haven't listened to any of the B-sides like of their releases, if they had any. But speaking of like vampire aesthetics, the whole thing is just like drenched in red and black, and they're wearing like very sexy like red and black outfits with like sheer red gloves. And there's a lot of like getting on the table and like wrapping around and like getting like in little twisties with the backup dancers. But the song is catchy and groovy and a little creepy. The choreo is really fun. Like, it's super involved and detailed, and there's a lot of like moving parts, and they take a lot of turns like being in the center and stuff, and it's really fun. I totally enjoyed it. They're so stunningly beautiful, all three of them, that it's like so crazy to just watch them together. Like, if you haven't even seen that Do Not Touch thing that they put out, holy crap. The whole music video is like inspired by fine art, and they like recreate different paintings and stuff, and it's just like so appropriate because each one of these women are just like so beautiful.
Yeah.
They are art in and of themselves. So Misamo Funny Valentine, I had a great time watching it. It's sort of a like creepy, sexy, very good stage.
Okay, love it. I have a couple of things to recommend this week. First, for music recommendations, the new Stacey album, Teen Fresh, is great. And it's not an album, it's mini, it's four songs. It's always four songs, but I like all four of them. The main single, Bubble, is so cute and fun. I still don't think that Stacey has quite like lived up to the perfection that was like ASAP, but it's okay. I like Bubble more than I liked Teddy Bear. So at least there's that, but I love this little mini. It feels like there's more. When I did a quick skim of the credits, there's more Black Eyed Peel song in this than there has been. Like, I feel like they stepped away for a second, but like, they're back, which is good because they write such bangers and they should be taking care of their girl group and writing them bangers. But I love it. There's also really, really funny, really, really cute videos where Siyun, the like main singer girl, her dad like filmed challenges with them.
And he kills it.
It's so stinking cute.
He's so precious. He knows the entire song. It's so great.
It's so cute. Another album I would like to recommend is the new Triple S album, Lovolution.
I love girl capitalism.
Yeah.
That music video is so fun and the song is so catchy.
Yeah, it's a great little album. It just feels very like girl K-pop. Somebody in the Discord was comparing it to like a Luna album because Jaden Jong, who like produced a lot of Luna stuff, is like the exec around Triple S. I don't think he wrote any of these songs, but maybe the vibe is still there. And the whole Triple S thing is like very complicated, and we'll get into it because Support Girl Groups 2023 is coming up really, really soon. So I'll explain more about Triple S when we get there, but I do recommend this album. So those are my two music recommendations. And then a something to watch recommendation. I finally had time to sit down yesterday and watch the new season of EXO Ladder.
EXO.
Which is currently available nice and subbed on Viki and Kokoa, and I'm sure you can pirate it elsewhere, but those are where it's officially available. There's still one more episode to come out, but it was just so nice and fun to see them all together, and they look so handsome and they're all having so much fun and making each other laugh and being sweet and playing dumb games. And my favorite moment so far was a challenge where Because the thing about Exo Ladder, if you've never watched a season, is like they play games and then they use that like ladder deciding system to like decide the food challenges. And often certain members like don't get to eat or like get a worse meal. That's like kind of one of the big parts of it. And in this particular challenge, some of the members had to essentially work at the restaurant while the others ate. And so Schumann and Sehun were supposed to be the waiters, and Sehun like basically pretended that he was not punished, did not put the apron on, did not help, was just like trying to hide with the others and like sneak their food.
Shocking.
But Schumann put that apron on and he was working. Like, he was the best waiter I've ever seen, and he seemed to be like absolutely thriving. And I was just thinking, like, this guy's like never had a real job in his like whole life, and yeah. I bet that this is actually very fun.
Like, he's gonna retire and open up a little like soup shop or something. Yeah. That would be so cute. He can run it with his wife and four kids. I love it.
But yeah,
that doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah,
that is exactly how they like. If you told me like Schumann and Sehun were punished, how do you think that they dealt with it? That's what I would be like. Sehun didn't do anything, and Schumann worked his ass off and killed it.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went. But it's so pleasant and great. So highly recommend that if you haven't checked it out yet. And that's it.
Great, love it.
If you would like to find us, we can be found at AMAKpoppod on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at AMAKpoppod@gmail.com. You can text us or leave voicemails, 181-AMAKpop5. We got a very nice voicemail this week from our friend Lena that we met at KCon, and it was very sweet, and I love getting voicemails and texts from you guys. You can send us mail at P.O. Box 26096, Los Angeles, California 90026. Patreon.com/AMAKpoppod. There's bonus content on there, audio episodes, video episodes, other fun things. Ask me about kpop.com for merch if you want to get a concert bag or some stickers and keychains and stuff like that. We have all those little tchotchkes there. Linktree/AMAKpop will take you to our Spotify, our YouTube channel, and the famed Discord that was brought up so much in this episode. So if you want to get into photo card trading, there's a whole channel for it, full of experts and people who will help you out, as well as tons of other channels about different groups and other fun and games. And there's always people in there talking all day, every day. And it's a fun little sweet little community, and you can join it if you get to the link on our Linktree. And that's all the places.
Love it.
We'll see you in September, and love you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Jonghyun, you're our inspiration.